So I told you up front that what we're going to do is get you to create an extraordinary life, and I said you needed two skills. I never finished it. The first skill was the science of achievement. Step by step, here's how you do it. You can achieve anything. Anybody has. Anyone who wants to can make it happen if they follow certain laws. If you sow, you'll reap, as I've already said. But you can succeed and not be fulfilled. And success without fulfillment is failure. And I can't tell you, I've dealt with literally millions of people around the world. Again, some of the greatest achievers in the world. And I've met a lot of achievers, but I've met very few that are truly fulfilled. See, to have an extraordinary life, you need to be able to have the science of achievement, but you also have to master the art of fulfillment. And it's an art, it's not a science. In fulfillment, there are principles. There are things that if you use them, you can create joy right now, even though you haven't achieved all your goals. And you know what? If you're more joyful right now, you're going to have more energy to go after them. See, most of us have been trained, at least in the Western world, we're supposed to go do things so we can achieve, so we can eventually feel good. In the East, I'm supposed to feel good and enjoy myself right now because this is all there is. One is focused on the future, the other is focused on the present. We need both. Listen, if you live here in the West and you just sit around and you bliss out and feel wonderful, you're going to be fulfilled. But for how long? You know, if you just sit there and be fulfilled, people will come and take your furniture. You got to do something with your life. Life requires that we do things that allow us to contribute to the world, but it also requires, if we're going to be fulfilled, that we find a way to enjoy them. And if you can do that, now you're at the top of the ladder. Because if you don't do that, you bump into the experience I bumped into. I achieved. I made it all happen. You know, I felt so excited about my life. I was juiced. I was giving, 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 and I was seeing the result. And, you know, 1 year we fed 1 million people at Thanksgiving through my foundation. It was one of the biggest dreams I ever had. I felt so alive, so happy, so juiced about things. You know, I made a ton of money, you know, and so I had all the choices. I could do all the crazy stuff. I got to have my island and a plane and all that stuff that when you grow up poor, you think, boy, that would just be it. But the stuff didn't do it for me. I knew it never would. The people part really did, but there came a point where I was so focused on doing and giving and giving and giving that I wasn't taking any time for myself. And I remember one day, actually, being on stage. There were 18,000 people in the room. They gave me a standing ovation. I had this incredible thing. I felt so alive when I was giving to them, but when I stopped giving, I felt empty. I mean, it was a scary moment. And I realized there were some things in my life that I had not focused on, and they were hurting. And I pretended that they were okay. And they weren't. One had to do with my relationships. Another had to do with my relationship with my own time with myself. I never took the time anymore. I started out doing that every day, doing my hour of power. But now I was so swept up in doing, I wasn't taking care of me. So here's what this is about today. You are going to start a process, if you're willing to, of taking time for yourself. Of taking the most scarce resource you got, time, and giving it to you. And not just thinking about problems, but going through a very simple system that'll line you up for success. Because if problems aren't going to go away, how am I ever going to have a great life? Well, the answer to that is to realize that problems and happiness have no linkage whatsoever. I learned this because all of a sudden I felt like I had all these problems, and in the midst of problems, because I made changes, and by the way, anytime you make some changes, you're going to have some problems because people aren't going to agree with it, or they're not going to like it, or they're going to judge it and going to say, why did you do that? Or I don't like it. Change always, always creates problems. As you have problems, you create solutions, which, by the way, are more changes. And when you create more changes, what does that do? It creates more problems. So problems are here to stay. In fact, they won't be problems for you. They'll be challenges, and we love a challenge, don't we? Nobody wants a problem, but we love a challenge. I mean, why do we watch sports? Two people take on a challenge to see what they can do. Why do you start a new business? What is it that makes you attracted to someone and saying, my gosh, you know, can I connect with them? Can I get through to this person? Can I get this idea across? It's challenge. Challenge is necessary for growth, and growth is life. So it's a cool system. So let's get right to the point here. If you're going to have an extraordinary life, that life where you are juiced, then all that means is you're going to have a life where the primary emotions of your life are the ones you want. See, it doesn't mean that life works out every way you want. Sometimes it rains on your parade. Sometimes the events of your life you can't control. But you can control what it means to you. And when you control what it means to you, you have the ultimate power of your life. You have the edge. The ultimate advantage. See, I'll give you an example. Did you see that movie that won the Academy Award, Life is Beautiful? It's a story of a man who has an extraordinary life. Not because he has more money than anybody else, not because he's in a situation where everything is easy, but because he's alive. He has this joy about him. And by the way, if you've actually ever met Roberto Benigni, the man who plays this character, you know that he lives this way day to day. You know, he was authoring this thing from himself. He's such a joyous guy. And when he won the Academy Award, you never saw so much emotion. He was like a little boy, and everybody loved it because nobody else has the guts to be that way. Or they've forgotten what it feels like to just feel, to be alive. What makes him extraordinary? An extraordinary psychology, an extraordinary mindset, an extraordinary way of looking at the world. And in the movie, the man has that, doesn't he? And who does it affect? Everyone. Everyone within the realm of his influence. His wife feels like the most cherished person on earth, and so does he. Because when you give that kind of love and that kind of joy, people give it back. It's infectious. His son seems so happy, and they're in the middle of the Nazis taking over their country, and if you know the story, I won't run it, you know that they get picked up. And there's such a connection amongst the family that the wife is not being sent away, and she gets on the train with them. And there in the middle of this camp, this man with his extraordinary psychology figures a way of looking at the situation for his son, presenting it so that his son sees it as a game. Isn't life a game anyway? Instead of this horrible situation. And because he has that perspective, in the end, his family survives. See, if you want your family to survive, if you want them to succeed, if you want them to have joy, if you want your kids to have a lasting love, if you want to be able to give gifts in your life and not just take care of yourself, then you got to have an extraordinary psychology within yourself. It's not where you live physically, it's where you live internally. There are two worlds, the inside world and the outside world. We can't totally control the outside one, but we have absolute control in the inside one. But you know what? Most of us are too busy to take any time to check out and see how it's going on in here. Or we just accept it as, this is the status quo, this is who I am, this is my life, or I'll get to it later, mañana, I gotta handle this first, something else that's not so important. I want to invite you, my friend, to take the time to say, I'm going to have every day an hour of power. Every day I'm going to have at least 30 minutes to thrive, or 15 minutes to be fulfilled, for God's sakes, where I'm going to take those 15 minutes and I'm going to focus on everything I'm grateful for. I mean, if we're going to have a life, we got to have time. And the time has to have some specific things we do, and one of those is gratitude. If you want to know what's the quality of your life, how much time do you spend in gratitude? How much time are you grateful and appreciative to the point that emotion wells up in you? I'm feeling it now. I'm so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to have the privilege to serve you right now. So if you can get to that state, everything changes. I'll give you an example. If you think about being fearful, when you're fearful, you're not grateful. If you want to get rid of fear, which everybody has, and people say, oh, I'm not fearful, I'm stressed. Or if you have places like L.A. or New York, they're achievers. They can't even be stressed there. They have angst. You know, it's a higher level of more sophisticated levels of stress. But you know what? If you follow the trail of stress, it brings you to fear. And everybody's got fears. Fear they're not enough. Fear that it won't work out. Fear they won't be loved. Everybody's got that at some level unconsciously. We're human. So you can put the fear aside when you're grateful. I don't just mean intellectually, yeah, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. I mean stopping, thinking, seeing, and feeling. So I'm going to walk you through a system that includes gratitude. Every day of our life, we got to have a vision. Every day of our life, we got to have something that excites us. When people tell me, oh, I'm bored, I'm tired, you know, that thing is boring. No, you're boring because you don't have something that excites you in your life. You haven't come up with a vision. You haven't come something to move towards. We all need something that's going to make us use more of who we are, our courage, our passion, our joy, face our fears, build our emotional muscles. But you don't build emotional muscles when you do the same thing day after day after day. What you get is a life that's unfulfilling. So we've got to have a vision. So every day I'm going to take you through a simple process that'll get you to expand your vision so you have a compelling future. That thing that makes you want to get up early. There's a reason. You got to have a reason. And, you know, I have friends that have sold their companies. One guy sold his company and made almost $1 billion in cash, about $800 million plus. And, you know, he was so excited for about 2 months, maybe three. But you know what? After that, you know, there's only so much time you want to sit on the beach by yourself because everybody else is working, you know, and doing something and being productive. There's only so many cocktails you can take. You know, there's only so many, you know, movies you can watch. There's a limit to it. What he needed was a new vision. Anytime you achieve a goal, as you get close to it, you better set up the next one real quick, because otherwise it's kind of like postpartum. You were looking forward to that baby, and now you got him. You know? And sometimes in the middle of the night, you're going, what did I do here? Have you ever had that experience? I got four kids. I can relate. I hope you can. But you know what? You also have the experience on the other side of it. It's so wonderful. It's kind of like, you know, the guys that went to the moon for the first time, the first astronauts. I mean, they worked their whole life. They achieved this goal. They walked on the moon. Then they came back. There was a ticker tape parade. They were heroes. They shook the president's hand. Now what? What do you do now that you walked on the moon? Well, maybe you got to find how to get adventure not out of a moon flight, but adventure out of a smile. You know, maybe you got to have a vision for what your life's about now. Without a vision, people perish. And you got to have a daily vision that'll excite you. Otherwise, life becomes mundane. And there's nothing worse than an okay life. I told you, you're not going to have that when we're done here. I promise you, if you get this little habit, you won't have to settle for a mundane life. What people are going to go is, what happened to you? Because there's an excitement in creation. There's not a lot of excitement in maintenance. I mean, you have to maintain your body. You got to maintain things, but creating things, that's what God created us for. Gave us the gift to make choices that could create new things, businesses, ideas, families, friends, you know, a garden. And it's available to every one of us. But if you don't get a vision each day, then the day is not going to have much juice, is it? So every day, there's got to be a little time for vision, right? Time for gratitude, time for vision. Every day, you got to move.